way, you know, last week, y'all know, most of y'all know what happened to me. I had a little setback, but I'm just going to share my story. Then we're going to get in the message, because out of my story, I believe God really impacted me with a word. And so let me just tell you what happened, because most of y'all know I was in the hospital last week. I've got the bruises and the poke marks in my arm to prove it. But I had a heart attack. last Tuesday, I had a heart attack. But 2 weeks before that, I believe the Lord began to deal with me. I went to a nutritionist, weighed on a scale, weighed 242 pounds. There was a song in the 80s that used to sing, a rap song called Oops Upside Your Head. You remember that song? Guess what? It was an oops upside your head moment for me. Because I thought I was doing okay. You know, your reference point in life is your reference point of wherever you are. So some of us think, well, you know, I'm 242 pounds. I was. I think I'm 217 today in about a month. But I had to make a change. And when I got on that scale, if anybody would ask me before that, they'd say, how you doing? I'd say, I'm doing great, because I am doing great. I was doing great considering being 242 pounds. Because your reference point of doing great is only your reference point of wherever you are in life, right? You don't know how good you could be doing unless you go to be doing something else. I don't know if that's right English, but anyway, you understand what I'm saying. Right? So I made a decision that day that I'm changing my life. Changing. You know, men, you know, there's two things that can happen to you. You can change by a decision you make, or something's going to come along in life that's going to change you. You're going to have an oops upside your head moment. And I think God would rather us cooperate by changing than us continuing in a certain lifestyle, in a certain way, in certain habits, in certain sins, and then all of a sudden, you get slapped upside your head by God. Because I can promise you this, grace, God will extend grace for a season, but you're going to pay eventually. I'm not trying to be hard. I just want you to know the truth. So here I am, I make a decision. I say, that's it. I quit drinking Diet Cokes. I quit eating bread. Quit eating refined sugar. I lost 25 pounds. It'll be a month next Wednesday. And listen, you make your mind up, God will give you grace to do it. And so I'm not here to blow myself up, but in the meantime, I'm still working out 2 weeks. You know, 2 weeks have gone by since I made that decision. I'm in the weight room working out, and man, I just start feeling funny. My chest started feeling funny. I said, ain't right, you know, and I was going to do cardio after that, and I said, I'm just going to skip cardio. Went home, told Tanya, I said, Tanya, I'm not feeling right. I said, lay your hands on me. I said, let's believe God to touch me. And we prayed. We went about our day, and I was doing what I normally do, but it felt like someone had taken my battery and drained my juice, man. I had no juice. Going through the motions. And that day, I talked to Dr. Jeff, told him I said, I got chest pains. And he said, well, how you doing now? I said, I'm doing great. I lied. The pastor lied. I'm sorry. Went on later on in the evening, and he sent me a text. He said, well, how you feeling now? I said, feel fine. Did a Bible study that night till about 9 o'clock. Went home. Tried to go to sleep. Couldn't sleep. Woke up the next morning, still feeling crazy. And I woke up, I said, Tony, something's not right. And I called Dr. Jeff, and I said, Jeff, I said, I wasn't truthful with you yesterday. I said, my chest is not right. He said, get to the doctor right now. So this is one day, a whole day has gone by. And so before we left, I said, come on, Tony, let's pray one more time. She laid hands on my chest. We agreed. We got up to get dressed to go to the emergency room. And on the way, I started feeling better. I mean, I felt like better. And I got to the emergency room. They brought me straight to the EKG room and put the little doodads on me, you know. And the nurse looked at it and said, you know, maybe we're having problems with the machine. Let me do it again. She ran it again, and she said, be right back. Left. And they're going to see the doctor. Came back with a wheelchair. I said, I don't need a wheelchair. I can walk. She said, sit down in that chair. Sat down in the chair. And when they wheeled me around into the room, I mean, I don't know if y'all had emergency room issues. You normally have to sit there. Doctor comes in. Well, there was a team of people there waiting on me. And the cardiologist walked up to me immediately and said, you have some abnormalities with the EKG. We got to take you into heart cath right now. And, I mean, before you know it, I had to sign some papers. Man, they give me an aspirin. They're asking me all kind of questions. They take me into heart cath. And he goes in through my wrist. I'm wide awake, no anesthesia whatsoever, but I didn't feel anything. And he shows me my heart. He said, here's your blockage right here, right at the bottom of my heart. On the back side, a small artery I had about, it looked like to me about a quarter inch blockage. It looked like a small artery, you know. He showed it to me. He had the little deal trying to open it up, you know. And so he said, you know, Mr. Hornsby, I'm not going to poke you around in there anymore. He said, your heart has already rerouted circulation. He said, you have full blood flow in your heart. And he showed me, your heart is strong. And then he showed me all my main arteries. I saw it on camera. Had the little camera on the thing, you know, and said, all your arteries are fine. He said, you might have a little bit of buildup in one. He said, but that's no big deal. You know, my mom died at 44 of a heart attack. She had two open heart surgeries. So in the back of my mind, you know, the devil's always saying, guess what? It's your turn. And so when they wheeled me in the heart cath, I'm thinking, okay, this is it. But when he showed me that, he said, you're going to be fine. He said, in 2 days, your heart will be as strong as it was. So we stayed for 2 days in the hospital. They did my blood work. My blood work came back unbelievable. I guarantee you 2 weeks before that, it wouldn't have been unbelievable. 242 pounds. But last Thursday, I went for my checkup. I want to let you know God healed me. I believe on the way from my house to the emergency room, a miracle happened. But I went Thursday to the doctor's visit, and my pulse was 66. My blood pressure was 122 over 82. My EKG was perfect, and the devil's in trouble. So I've made a decision that I'm, you know, I think a lot of times that we do good for a little while. We have seasonal success in things in our life, and then we get back to our old ways. I just want to encourage you. I'm hoping that God uses my experience, the thing that I had to go through, to change the lives of others. You know, your spirit, your soul, and your body have to work and cooperate together. You can't separate the three. You've got to be spirit-led, but your soul and your body has also got to come into a place of discipline and order. Because if you don't do that, you will never accomplish the total will of God for your life. I really believe that. The Lord spoke to me during this time, and he said, can your physical condition sustain your spiritual dream? Can your physical condition sustain your spiritual dream? And I began to think like that. You know, we think about Jesus. We think about a meek man. But I just want to tell you something. Jesus was a physical specimen. Jesus carried his cross, literally. That cross was not a weak cross. That cross was not a light cross. And Jesus was beaten. He couldn't hardly move, but he carried the cross. Jesus was a man, a real man. So I just want to encourage you today, that out of this, that out of all this stuff, this is two things I really God was telling me. Number one, he put an exclamation point on the importance of me taking care of myself and being in top physical condition and top and maximum efficiency so I can have maximum effectiveness in ministry. God wants us to have maximum efficiency in our life so that we can have maximum effectiveness in our life. Now that means, you know what that means? That means we're going to have to make some changes. Now I don't know what you need to change, but I can promise you something. There are some things that you need to get better at. You say, well, I'm waiting on God. Well, I can promise you this, God's waiting on you. Because God wants us to cooperate with the vision that he's called us to. God wants us to get ourselves in a place where when things, if things go bad, I don't know, that we're ready. Paul said to be instant, in season and out of season. That means I'm in a place in my life that no matter what comes along, no matter what happens, I'm in the ready position. When I played football, we had what was called the ready position, and this was it. We were ready. I mean, you know, if you're not ready, the devil's going to take you out. If you're not ready, I'm talking about spirit, soul, and body, especially the times that we live in. You know, the worst things, those oops upside your head moments that happen can be really bad moments, but can turn into a life-changing thing in your life that becomes the best thing that ever could have happened to you. I've learned that God uses terrible things in my life to release a turnaround. You know what that heart attack was? It was a blip on the radar and a wake-up call from the Lord. I'd already made a decision, but an exclamation point from God to get with it. I want to preach today. That was just the introduction. And by the way, I'm wearing 34 jeans for the first time since high school. Take that, devil. I tell you what it's done. It's really brought real clarity in my life. And men, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage the men of this church to be men of God. We have this model men coming up on Wednesday nights. We're going to do this small group. And it's going to be, we're going to start at 6 o'clock before first Wednesday and then 7 o'clock after that. But I want every man in this church to be involved because we have to be the examples. We have to live it as examples. I'm not asking you to be here. I'm telling you. Is that possible? Some of us need to be here. We need change in our life. We need to make a decision. But, you know, out of all these things that happen, God's given me a word today that I believe. And it's called That's My Mountain. And the subtitle of this message would be Staying Power to Complete Your Call. Staying power to complete your call. You know, the devil wants to take you out. And he'll stop at nothing to do it. He'll attack your physical body. He'll attack the people closest to you, the things that mean the most to you. If he can't get to you, he's going to go after something because he wants to change your focus. See, the devil doesn't have to defeat you. All he's got to do is distract you and discourage you. If the devil can distract and discourage you, he can stop you from fulfilling your purpose. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. We're going to look at the life of Caleb. This is after, just give you a little background. This is after the children of Israel had walked in the wilderness for 40 years. This is after they had had a chance to go into Canaan, and then they came back with doubt and fear and unbelief. And the result of their complaining and murmuring and unbelief was that they walked in the wilderness for 40 years. And now here they are again. You know why they walked in the wilderness, don't you? Because everyone that complained and murmured died there. So God had to raise up a new generation of faith people who were ready to take the land. Can I just tell you that we will never fulfill the call of our God, of God, as complainers? I'll just say it this way. God can't stand complaining. God can't stand negativity. Matter of fact, I can't either. I make it a point to stay away from negative, sour, mean, ugly people. You know those people we're talking about. Not anybody in here. They look like they've been weaned on a dill pickle every time you look at them. Woo, come on, Jesus. You know, smiling is good. Joshua 14, verse 6 through 12 says, "Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You remember, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me,'" talking to Joshua. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions." Man, isn't that a good word? You know what I heard? Listen to this. He said, "I came back and gave a report, not according to what I saw, but according to my convictions." John Maxwell made a statement one time that was very profound. He said, "One person with conviction makes a majority." How many of you know if somebody's got a conviction, you can't sway them from a conviction? And here's Caleb. He came back and said, "I brought back a report, but it wasn't, y'all remember the report? 10 came back with their giants in the land. We're not capable. We're like grasshoppers in their sight and in our and in my own sight. I don't think very highly of myself, and neither does God." And Caleb said, the Bible said that Caleb quieted the people and said, "We are well able to take the land. They are bred for us." How many of you know that anything that's not what God's called you to do that's in the way is nothing but an opportunity for you to overcome it? It's not there to stop you. It's there to strengthen you. There are no obstacles that's in your way that God didn't put there to create strength and purpose and new resolve in you. So he comes back. He said, "I gave a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord your God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." Verse 12, "Now give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day." "You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but with the Lord's help, I will drive them out, just as he said." Wow. What a man. Let me tell you about this man. A man of vision, a man of conviction. He said, "Look, here's what I want you to understand something. This man, because of his faith, had separated himself from every other Israelite." He said, "Everybody else was wandering around in the wilderness, but I was focused on the mountain." He said, "They were wandering." That's how he saw. How many of us are just wandering with no purpose? No destiny, no focus. We're just doing our thing. We're just taking life as it comes. And because of that, Because of that, listen, you got to learn what your yes is in life. If you don't learn what your yes is in life, you'll never say no to the things that life has to offer that are good things but are not God things. The problem with us is that we have settled for things that God never intended for us to settle. And I got to calm down. I'm a heart patient. That's what I tell Tanya and Hunter when they give me stress. Say, wait a minute, I'm a heart patient. Y'all need to stop. Come on, we need to be men and women of purpose. You see, while everybody else was wandering around, I believe this. It doesn't say this in the Bible, but I believe that while everyone else was just wandering around, taking life as it comes, Caleb was living with his eyes up, looking at his purpose. He knew that one day the time was going to come where he was going to say, now give me my mountain. I just want to let you know something, that God's timing for your life is not always what you think your timing should be, but God's got a plan, and it's coming. Now give me this mountain. And look what he said. And he said, look, I realize there are Anakites there, and their cities are large and fortified. I know what I'm getting myself into. But I know with the Lord's help, I'm going to kick their tail. That's, I summarize that in Mississippi terms for our sake. Caleb's vision sustained him through his desert time for 45 years. He was 40 when he saw it, when he believed it, and he was 85 when he did it. You remember what Pastor Mike Ware said? He said, "You know what? Remember this?" He said, "You know what Caleb and Joshua did when they were in their as young men? They killed giants and conquered cities." He said, you know what they did when they were old men? They killed giants and conquered cities. Retirement is an American idea. It's not a God idea. But I'm going to tell you something right now, that Caleb kept his life in order, his physical life in order, because he said, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me in that place. You know what I prayed? Here's my prayer. Me and Van are going to duck hunt until we're old. And duck hunting is not easy. Duck hunting is work, and I question myself why I do it sometimes for a little bird. I just like to shoot things. That's why I do it. But Caleb had kept himself. He'd kept his. Listen, vision keeps you focused and disciplined. We get into a mindset sometimes that, well, I'm just overwhelmed by things. No, it's not the problems that are the problems. It's the purpose that's the problem. We don't have problems. We have purpose problems. Because I find that when I'm focused and in the zone, in what I call the jet stream of the will of God, and I'm focused, nothing can stop me. We just got to stay in that place while everybody else is wandering around. We just got to stay in the place that's saying, I've got a mountain to take. I've got a purpose. His vision sustained him through the desert time. This is what he said. He said, I'm still as strong as I was when I was 40. This is what the Hebrew word for strong means: stout, mighty, severe, sharp as a tack, focused, bullheaded, and stubborn. He had his mind made up. He knew what God had called him to do. He set his face like flint, and he was not going to be deterred from what the things that he knew in his heart God had given him. Let me ask you something. What's in your heart that God has for you that you maybe have gotten a little weary, or maybe you're thinking, well, maybe it's not coming, but I promise you it's coming. Galatians 6 says, do not grow weary in doing well, because in due season you'll reap if you don't faint or give up. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to make a decision to begin to cooperate with the hand of God in your life. You have to make some changes because God's going to give you some new wine, but he's waiting on you to get a new wineskin. The old way of doing it doesn't work anymore. The old little things you used to do and thinking it's okay that nobody's going to see, nobody's going to know, you better give all that up. Come on now. Can your physical condition sustain your spiritual dream? You know, I like to shoot rifles, and there's a scientific name for energy of a bullet. It's called the ballistic coefficient. Now, I sound pretty scientific today, don't I? The ballistic coefficient is the ability of a bullet to maintain its energy downrange. When you shoot a bullet, there's a muzzle velocity that happens. Let me tell you what affects the ballistic coefficient of a bullet. It's the shape and density of the bullet. When you shoot that bullet, and if it's the longer and sleeker a bullet is, the more it can maintain its energy to hit its mark. If you were a bullet today, would you be able to maintain your downrange energy to hit the mark? You see, that's the whole point. We've got to be in a place in our life where we can hit the mark. You know the word sin, do you know the definition of sin, what it means? It means missing the mark. That's why in Hebrews it says, lay aside every weight and every sin. That so easily what? Besets. Besets me from what? The mark. From hitting the mark. You've lost your energy. You've not maintained your ballistic coefficient, the downrange energy to hit where you intended to hit. And you say, well, Pastor, that's pretty neat, but what do I need to do? Well, consider your ways. If I continue to do what I'm doing, will I get to where God intends me to get? I'm going to give you four keys for staying power and completing your call. Number one, keep your focus. Paul had it when it came to that, didn't he? Pastor, what do you mean? Keep the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Keep Jesus first. Learn the yes factor in your life. Say, what is that? The yes factor is when you know and have said yes to your purpose. And then that's what propels you to complete what God's called you to do. One of the most freeing things I ever learned in ministry is the word no. But I could never learn the word no until I knew what my yes was. If you don't know what your yes is, you'll be try to become all things to all men every time something comes up, and you'll be ineffective, inefficient, and not bring glory to God because you are not in your purpose. Listen, there's always going to be needs out there. But don't do anything according to need. Always do what you do according to purpose and vision. Weigh anything that you do against what your yes is. What is your yes? Keep the main thing the main thing. Paul said, Philippians 3 said, One thing I do, forget what is behind, I strain toward what is ahead, I press on toward the mark, the goal, the thing, the yes. What is your yes? And that word goal is the vision. You know what the word, the Greek word vision or the goal is, it means vision, and it's the word scopos, where we get our word scope from. It's the distant mark that's looked at. The goal on the end of someone's view. He lived with the end in mind. He lived with his eyeball on the goal. Keep the main thing the main thing. Number two, understand the working together principle. You say, well, what's that mean, Pastor? It means this. Everything matters in your life. Your finances, your marriage, your consistency, your faithfulness, your spiritual life, your soul life, your physical life, it all matters. And they all should be working together. If any part of your life is out of line, it will detract and distract you from doing what God's called you to do. That 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 24 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. That word sanctify means purify, make whole. It says, make your whole spirit, soul, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Working together. And listen, guys, I know I've had friends preach to me all my life about, I know how to live physically right. I know how to eat right. It's just doing it. It's disciplining myself. But here's how you weigh it. You got to ask yourself the question, can my physical condition sustain my spiritual dream? Does the physical matter? Well, I want to let you know it does matter. Is it most important? No, but it's very important. Your spirit is most important. But if your spirit is in line, shouldn't your physical life also be in line? If your spirit is in line with God, should your finances also be in line? See, that's not problems. You see, we think we got all these problems. No, that's symptoms. It's symptomatic of a spirit life that's not being led by the Spirit of God. And so we pretend in life, how are you doing? You asked me how I was doing 242 pounds. I was doing great because my reference point was 242 pounds and I didn't know any different. But I tell you now, at 215, 217, something like that, when I weighed this morning, it's a whole lot better being here than it was there. I must be doing greater. You know what I mean? So change your reference point. It all matters. Well, you can't, wait, Pastor, I'm not hurting anybody. No, yes, you are. You're derailing your destiny. You're derailing, you're hurting yourself and you're hurting your people who you love. Doggone it. Can your physical condition continue to sustain your spiritual dream? Or is the ballistic coefficient of your life going to allow you to hit your mark? Number three, I put my principle in there. Oops, upside your head. Change is coming. Whether you like it or not, you can change now or change later, but you're going to have to change. You ever heard of the law of entropy? The law of entropy says that everything that is in motion will eventually run out and die. In other words, don't think that anything that's going on in your life can just be left alone and nothing not happen. Those things that are not being addressed in your life will take you down. And this is how it happens. You can repent now or be exposed later. It's going to come to light. You're going to have an oops upside your head moment. I say we need to make a decision today. I had made a decision before I had my heart attack. The heart attack was just an exclamation point that I'm on the right track. By the way, I was released from the doctor to do everything I've always done on Thursday. And then I said, devil, you messed up. You should have killed me while you had the chance. Now you are in trouble. Change is coming. Change an hour later. Be under this. Deal with it. Just deal with it. Well, how do you deal with it, Pastor? You confess, you confront, and you get better. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with those you love. Make a plan. Follow through. And understand that life change occurs over time. I'm not on a diet. I can't afford to be on a diet. I've changed my life. Instead of looking at a double quarter pounder of cheese with lust, I look at it now with disdain. It's poison. It's something that could derail my purpose. That's how you got to look at it. So, Pat, if I've got things I've got to change, you got to have a life mindset. Not just I'm changing this, but I'm changing my life. You know what I found out about eating bread and not eating bread? I don't need bread. You know what I found out about drinking Diet Coke and then not drinking Diet Coke? I don't need Diet Coke. You know what I found about sugar? I don't need it. Things that we have grown accustomed to in our life that have become detrimental without us knowing it, if we don't do it, we're going to get better, and we're not going to miss it. So be honest. Make a plan. Follow through. So how do I follow through? Get somebody you're accountable to. Tanya, if I do anything out of line with my life change, she goes, can you have that? I'm like, get off my back. I'm glad she does that. I mean, she's checking on me, trying to hold me accountable. I'm hard to hold accountable. But once I make up my mind up about something, that's it. Kind of like Caleb. But when you got a vision and you got conviction, it's okay to be bullheaded and stubborn when you're doing the right thing. Follow through. Life change occurs over time. Have a life mindset. Ask yourself, what do I need to change to fulfill my destiny? What do I need to change? Get honest with yourself. And then number four, just learn that patience is your friend, not your enemy. Some of us are in certain places right now, and we're getting kind of anxious over it. Chill. Instead of looking to get out where God may have us right now, get engaged where you are right now to find out what God's trying to teach you. Because there's something in your unsafe, uncharted areas of your life that you're going to be taught by the Spirit of God that you never would have learned otherwise. So embrace your place. It's kind of like weird as I get older and walk with the Lord that my hard and troubled times I become to embrace because I know God turns my hard places into holy places. And there's things that God builds in me in the most uncomfortable places of my life that cause me to be built in such a way and strengthened that cause the one day are going to cause the devil. So embrace your place. Patience. Just trust God in your uncomfortable place. promises peace, not comfort. Whatever God's got you doing right now, do it with a good attitude and a right heart. Keep positive in your prayers, your attitude, and your words. A lot of times when we get in those places, we like to complain and say, man, this is a hard place. I just wish God would just... No, just marinate your place a little bit. Let God do what He wants to do. Don't be like Peter. You know, when Peter thought everything was over with, when Jesus, you remember the story when everything went down, he said, Jesus is dead. He said, well, I'm going back fishing. Don't throw away your faith and your confidence in the middle of your uncomfortable place. Trust God. You can tell those who have trusted the Lord in their hard places because they're resting even in their hard places. Yeah, they're not denying that they're going through these things. They just trusted God in the midst of it. Can I just tell you, it's going to be all right. You say, Pastor, you don't know. No, I don't know exactly, but I do know one thing. I have been in those places. Ain't nothing but a place. God's Jesus is Lord over that place. I promise you, you're going to come out of that place. And it's going to be better. And the last thing I want to encourage you to do in your patience. Understand that God gives you grace for your place and that you always got to keep your mountain in view. Keep your mountain in view. Come on, y'all ready to take that mountain? I am too. You know what I'm thankful for? Really thankful for the scars. I know I don't know about theologically, but you know, I'm thankful for what I went through last week. I'm thankful that I'm not there anymore, but I'm also thankful that God allowed me to have grace to go through that situation and to come out with a story. You're going to find in your life that humbling experiences will keep you better equipped for service. So I'm humbled today, but I'm just as fiery as ever was. But I'm tempered in such a way and focused in such a way, and I'm closer to my mountain than I've ever been. I just want to let you know, no matter where you are today, you're closer than you've ever been to your destiny. Keep the mountain in view. Let's bow our heads and pray. Ooh, I sense the Holy Spirit in this place, don't you? Isn't that good? Let me ask today. You know, I said all that to say this, that without Jesus, can't make it to your mountain. Without Jesus, it's hopeless, it's helpless, it's impossible. And let me ask you today, is there anyone here who would say, Pastor, I want to make a decision to make Jesus Lord of my life? That Jesus who came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, shed his blood so that you could get to heaven and be with him. Is there anyone here? Just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to make a decision to make Jesus Lord of my life. Anyone? Come on, whole room. Amen. Now, I want to ask you, are you ready for grace for your mountain? And you say, Pastor, just pray for me right now. Anybody? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes. See those hands all over the building. Let's agree together. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God. The Word of God says you have placed eternity in the hearts of men. that thing that drives us, that moves us, that draws us, that compels us, the power of God toward the mountain that you've called us to. Lord, I loose the grace of God over your people. Those that have raised their hand, Lord, I pray special grace, those that are in hard places. Lord, I thank you for grace to go through those things. I thank you for grace to overcome. But even more than grace to go through and overcome, grace to be equipped for the next step. Lord, we trust you. And Lord, I loose destiny and purpose that with the Holy Spirit, power of God living in our lives, we're going to overcome. We're going to take that mountain. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today as you go. Great to see you.